Hello everyone. In this first episode of Theory of Rebellion, we will jump straight into the deep end by talking about capitalism and how it brought about climate change. My goal with this series will be to shed some light on the connections between climate justice and other struggles. Climate change does not happen in a vacuum, and the better we understand the ins and outs, the better we will be able to fight to bring about actual change. But let's start with a few basic things so we can have a common understanding of what we are talking about. Capitalism is a big word. I will talk about it here as an economic system in which private property exists and is used to create profits, which are then reinvested. This process is called capital accumulation. Private property does not mean your toothbrush or your favorite sweater, but instead things that are used to produce other things: factories, land, power stations, houses, machines, and tractors. A better word is means of production, things that are used to produce something. The thing that happens under capitalism is that when the capitalists, the owning class, have a monopoly like land, they can force people who rely on that monopolized thing to work for them and take everything that they produce and give them just a wage in return. Through the theft of these means of production, wage labor arises, and wage laborers become more common the higher capitalism develops. And of course, they never pay what your work is actually worth, otherwise there would be no profit. The opposite of capitalism is socialism, where the means of production are owned by everyone, either through a socialist state or through the people directly. You can think of railways or the electricity grid or rivers or national parks for the first example, democratic state ownership. Otherwise, there might be something like worker cooperatives, where workers elect their bosses instead of bosses hiring workers. This would be a good example for direct ownership of the means of production. Under socialism, there exists no or little private property, and instead things are common or collective property. So now that we understand capitalism a little better, how does it drive climate change? The short answer is twofold: privatization and infinite growth. You might have heard the slogan, "No infinite growth on a finite planet," or people talking about degrowth. These two things are intimately linked with capitalism. But let's go back in history for 500 years. Back then, European colonizers first found their way to the Americas, by accident really. All of the Americas had been settled already for thousands of years. There were many highly developed civilizations on this giant continent when the first European colonists arrived. What they found there was vast quantities of land, minerals, especially gold and silver, and the indigenous people themselves. Many of these indigenous people died due to European diseases. It's estimated that between 50 and 55 million people died between 1492, when Columbus first set foot on the Americas, and 1600. That are between 80 and 90% of the population of the Americas in just over 150 years. Afterwards followed the theft of land, theft of minerals, and other resources, and enslavement for thousands upon thousands of indigenous people. Later, when even these slaves were not enough for the newfound colonies, they were supplemented with African slaves and with slaves from other continents. The entire United States, as we know it today, would simply not exist without this combination of genocidal murder, theft, and enslavement. What this did in Europe, the heart of the British, French, Dutch, Danish, Norwegian, Swedish, Spanish, Portuguese, Russian, and smaller empires, is that it flushed those that started early with materials and metals that could be minted into money. Through the theft of silver and gold, copper and timber, and with crops grown for export like rubber, sugar, tea, coffee, cotton, and the list goes on, they could enrich Europe and expand their empires. It is estimated that between 10 and 12 million Africans were enslaved and used for forced labor in the Americas to grow these cash crops there. Land that had been used for hundreds of generations for regenerative farming was often cut or burned down to make space for monocrops, which were then exported to increase the wealth of the colonizers. Most of the Americas finally gained political independence again in the 18th and 19th century, but this was of course not the end of colonizations. Afterwards, these countries came under the system of neocolonialism, sometimes also called semi-colonialism, because the direct colonial rule disappeared, but the landowners were still the same. While the United States were able to cut loose from European control for good after their War of Independence in 1783, after finishing the colonization of North America on the territory of the United States, it turned towards Latin America and the Caribbean, and proclaimed the Monroe Doctrine in 1845, under which it to this day seeks to dominate Latin America and the Caribbean in matters of trade, politics, and militarily if necessary. In the 19th century, we can then see the rise of the coal-fired cotton industry, with cotton textiles being the first commodities to be produced on a large scale in England. Cotton that was grown by the black slaves in the US and on land stolen from the indigenous population. Even today, the United States sees itself as the world power and world police, which can finance coups, spy on opposition, and invade militarily whenever and wherever it wants. Recent coups in Latin America that I am aware of are 2002 in Venezuela against Hugo Chavez, 2019 in Bolivia against Evo Morales, and then 2022 in Peru against Pedro Castillo, which seems to be the same playbook as the other two. And then there is the imprisonment in 2018 of the current president of Brazil, Lula da Silva, which was under false charges of corruption. But what does all of this have to do with climate change? I guess I do not have to explain the theft and conversion of regenerative farming land and forests into monocultures to produce cash crops for export. This massively destroys biodiversity and releases large amounts of carbon from the soil once they're exhausted. I do not think that I have to explain the expansion of mining, which releases large amounts of chemicals into the waterways. Added to this, in our current time, is the continued logging, for example in the Amazon, but also in regions of Canada, as well as the exploitation of oil and gas reserves in the Americas. Indigenous people often have a different view of the land, but most importantly, they're just locals. They know their land. They do not want to destroy it. But in our current system, capitalism, they are not the ones that make the decisions. The robber barons of Exxon and Shell, of mining corporations like Glencore from Switzerland, or just food companies like Chiquita or Coca-Cola, they are the ones who profit off the poverty and the private ownership of formerly collectively owned resources. These corporations have the money and the will to bribe politicians, to open up new markets, or to give more favorable conditions to businesses, and they dictate what is on the supermarket shelves, how we get to work, what we can do in our free time, and through advertisement and through funding the movies and TV shows that we watch, what we want to do in our free time. And of course, what they all have in common is that they want us to consume, that we feel we are not good enough if we don't buy those new shoes, or have a big TV, or own a car, or go on vacation twice a year, or get that new IKEA furniture, or just have an ice-cold Coke after the end of our day. And everything that you produce was made with products that came from somewhere, dug out of the ground, or harvested on a field where once a forest stood, transformed through a person that has no say over their workplace, what and how to produce it? Because many in this world are born poor and kept illiterate, and when they try to change that, they are the big businessmen in their suits with their police force and their CIA and their fascist thugs in case you weren't scared by them. This is not to mean that we don't have a chance to change this system we call capitalism. And many people in the global south today are fighting and have successes. But we have to realize that the fight is hard and will be long, and that we cannot simply say that we want to stop climate change and then stop looking. Instead, to understand, we have to take a closer look, and when we do that, we will find that we are a part of this giant machine that is killing our humanity and destroying our planet, and that it does not work for us and it doesn't work without us. And when we look who is steering this monstrosity, we will find just some small, pathetic man who have us wrapped around their finger. When we realize that and we decide to act, they are powerless.
Und bei dem Mensch ein. Bye.